sermon text for this New Year's Day is our gospel reading. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is New Year's Day, so it is definitely appropriate to wish the congregation a Happy New Year. Now, normally we would have a New Year's Eve service, not a New Year's Day service, but since New Year's Day falls on a Sunday this year, we opted for the New Year's Day readings in place of this Sunday's readings, or as an option for this Sunday's readings. Rarely are we able to hear about the circumcision and naming of Jesus. And another thing I guess we would ask ourselves is just why in the world does this coincide with New Year's Day? Well, as the text says, the rite of circumcision, according to Jewish ceremonial law, took place 8 days after the baby boy was born. January 1st is 8 days after our celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. So you've got 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 1. 8 days. So it is the celebration of the circumcision and the naming of Jesus today. The eighth day is also a day that is symbolic of new creation. New Year's Day is for us the beginning of a new year, and as far as the naming of Jesus goes, it's like when we say in baptism, it's a public announcement of the name of the child. In baptism, we ask the parents, how is this child named? And the parents give the answer, this child is named so-and-so. And so at the circumcision of a Hebrew baby boy, well, the name was also publicly given. Jesus' naming, though, is the public recognition of what exactly his mission is. His work is to save, and that's exactly what his name means. Jesus, or God, saves. Now, I found buried within this text 3 different sermons, so sit back. It's going to be a long morning. Now, there's Jesus' name, first of all. Who gave Jesus' name? God the Father gave Jesus' name before his conception. Who delivered the name to Mary and Joseph? The angel Gabriel was the one who delivered the name to Mary and Joseph. What does this name mean? It means God saves. How is God's name abused these ways in various and sundry ways? How should we, or who are Christians, in our life then bear the name of Jesus? How should we live out that name in our daily lives? That would be one possible sermon. A second sermon could be on Mary and Joseph as a model for all Christian parents, a model for godly parents. Their obedience to God is a model for each and every one of us. Their immediate obedience to God is a good model for all Christians to follow. Mary and Joseph followed divine direction without questioning the will of God and the ways of God. Children naturally follow what their parents do. It's often heard said, my dad does this or my mom does that, so on and so forth. And so Mary and Joseph were a good model for Jesus to follow when he was growing up. And we need more parents like Mary and Joseph. That would be a second possibility for a sermon. Today we're going to focus on a rather different topic, and that is of Jesus' circumcision itself, its why and its impact for us. Today we see Jesus, 8 days old, already suffering pain for us and in our place and shedding the first drops of his blood as he begins to fulfill the ceremonial law for us. And of course we are led to ask why. Well, this rite was a sign of a covenant between Abraham and between God, or Abraham's descendants and God, and was intended to remind the Hebrew people of their sinfulness. But as we all confess, Jesus was born without sin. So why did he need this rite, or as some people call it, an Old Testament sacrament of circumcision? Why did he have to go through what every other Hebrew male had to go through and undergo? Well, as St. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Jesus is now placed under the whole law for us. In our stead and in our place, Jesus is our substitute. How does that line of a hymn, "Weak hearts now be resolute, this man is Christ our substitute"? What wonderful lines that we hear, that Jesus is our substitute. St. Paul also writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law," to do what? "To redeem those who are under the law." What then is the purpose of this redemption? "So that we might receive the adoption as sons." The child Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, was placed under the law, not because he was a sinner, but he was placed under the law because we are sinners. He was placed under the law in our place and for our sakes to redeem every one of us who is under the law. In his circumcision, the very first blood was shed by him whose blood would flow on Calvary's cross for the atonement of the sins of the entire world. So what a fitting beginning for our new year. It's not resolutions to exercise more or resolutions to eat better or be nicer or to save more money. We begin the new year by confessing that the Christ child whom we worshipped and adored 8 days ago really is the Savior and the Messiah whom we need. Today we remember that this Jesus immediately begins to place himself under the law so that he might redeem those who are under the law. We begin the new year in awe that the Redeemer has shed the first drops of his blood in our place and for us. It is then a blessing for us that Christ was placed under the law. And he is, as the fulfiller of the law, and because he is the fulfiller of the law, we are no longer required to keep the ceremonial law. As you can tell, we are not sacrificing any lambs on our altars anymore. Jesus was the final and the last sacrificial lamb for us and in our place. At the same time, though, Holy Scripture relates this circumcision to our baptisms. To be in Christ is not the cutting of the flesh, but rather it is the circumcision of the heart. Under the New Testament, baptism is a covenant between God and his people. In baptism, we are made children of God. For baptism works the forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and hell, delivers from the devil, and gives us eternal salvation. So Jesus, before he can even talk, assures us that he is the Savior of the world, that he is willing to suffer and die for our sins and to redeem all of humanity from its iniquity. And since we believe that Christ fulfilled this part of the law for us and on our behalf as part of God's plan for the redemption of the world, then it follows that we who are the ransomed, we who are the circumcised in the heart, ought to consider our lives today. We must consider how we're going to live our lives out as the redeemed people of God, those who are ransomed by Jesus. Jesus did not redeem us from our sins to give us license to continue to live in sin. The opposite is true. We are to put off the works of darkness. We are to put off the lusts of the flesh. We are to live as new creatures. Will living this way in the new year be easy? No more easy than it was last year, which means it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard to do. It never has been easy. In this side of heaven, it never will be easy. We know that Satan, the old dragon, will do his darndest to ensnare us in his power, to seduce us into doubting the truth of the Scripture and to get us to doubt the faithfulness of God. He wants to confuse our minds into believing the very opposite of what God has taught us. With the mighty changes going on in our world today, in politics and economics and the social world, and the insidious attacks being formed and put into action against the Lord and his church, we do seem to have every reason to fear the coming of the new year. Yet with Jesus as our Savior, our shield to protect us and to lead us on to the final victory over the lies of the world, the final victory over the father of lies, and our victory over the forces of darkness, we need have no fear of the new year. Indeed, we have no need to fear any part of our future. For the Lord has redeemed us, and the Lord has given us His kingdom. Blood has been shed, and we will follow along in the church here. We will walk behind Jesus as His disciples through the entire liturgical calendar. Then what of 2023? Well, we can count on Him who bore the burden of sin for us in our place and because of our sin. We can count on Him as our Savior. And so we all ask ourselves the questions. Will we be found faithful this year? Will we be found as those who live in the shadow as we should, live in Christ's shadow as we should? Will we who are saved from the burden of the law follow Jesus and keep His commandments as proof of our loyalty to Him? What about the 365 days of the year, 52 of which are Sundays? Will our hours of work be done to His glory? Will our leisure hours be spent in conformity to His will? Will we strive to overcome the enemies of our souls, or will we dance with them? Will we fight them, or will we declare a truce with them? Of course, there is no flag of truth in the fight of faith, so we, in this new year, swear allegiance to the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us then enter this new year determined to fight the good fight of faith, determined to live our lives as lives of those who are redeemed. Let us live this year true to God's Son, who was put under the law for us. And let us call others to come and join the redeemed, the saved, the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.